This is going to be an emotional episode because Charlie is back home, sweet Ohio. Are you coming to us? I know you're in Cincinnati, but are you teary-eyed at the mere fact that you're back in the great state of Ohio?
Well, I hate to be corrector guy. I have been in Ohio, and I will be in Ohio, but currently as we tape this podcast, I should have just lied, but I am in Covington, Kentucky, right across the river. I wanted to get a feel for Kentucky for a couple minutes, at least for the night, before I go back to the great state of Ohio. But yes, Cincinnati, even though it's 3 hours from where I grew up in Toledo, you're still in God's country. You're still in the greatest state in the union, Ohio. So it's great to be back. They threw a parade for me when I came down here, so it was great.
I love looking at maps. I'm fascinated at geography, but it's amazing how much I've studied geography and I still have no idea. So I told Kim, my wife, that you were going to be in Cincinnati, and she said, oh, will he see his mom? You know, and I said, you know, I think Toledo's kind of far. This is like all of our Illinois friends. Hey, I was over in Belleville. I should have swung by. Well, I live in Edwardsville. Yeah, I know. I could have swung by. Yeah, well, that's like a half hour away. Oh, is it? Like, I didn't realize. So Toledo's pretty far up there. Cincinnati is what? Pretty far south?
Yes. Toledo, and not that anyone cares, but I will tell you this. So the end of my street where I grew up is the state of Michigan. Like, we would go play in the state of Michigan as kids. You could walk probably, I'm just going to say, 300 to 400 yards from where I grew up, my house, and you're at the Michigan line. So Cincinnati is a straight 3 hour drive south on I-75. You know, I mean, the ballpark, you can get to Kentucky across the river in about 3 minutes. So Cincinnati's about as south as you can get in the state of Ohio. And I live literally almost as north as you can get.
And I have to say, it's not that I haven't been. I've been to Cincinnati a million times. My dad grew up in Dayton. And so we'd visit my grandpa Ray in Dayton and we would go to Reds games. And then we'd go to River Downs, which was the racetrack right there. So I'm very familiar with it. I just couldn't, I guess I didn't know where Toledo was, to be candid. So Chuck's back in Cincinnati. Opening day. I forgot to tweet out to everybody. Happy opening day, or the super clever would be you just tweet baseball and don't say anything else.
Oh yeah.
That's my timeline today. Everything is all about baseball being back, but it is fun. And Chuck's there in Cincinnati. It's Martin and Marlo, the Matt Morris edition, episode 35. Let's just do this right away, Chuck. We're presented by, let's start with the Marlo Moments, presented by whom?
Marlo Moments, Corner Butcher in Fenton, 2099 Bentley Plaza Drive. Check them out. Weather's getting nicer, even though it's going to be freezing cold here in Cincinnati, but it's grilling season. Corner Butcher in Fenton, 2099 Bentley Plaza Drive. We're taking our dog Otis to Kenilwood Pet Resorts. I already set up the appointment for Saturday to get day camp and to get a bath and a groom and the nails trim, because I was looking at Otis and I felt bad for him. I could barely see his eyes. He had those droopy kind of furry eyes where the fur above his eyes was just hanging over. I'm like, we got to take him to Kenilwood Pet Resorts. They always hook Otis up and they have for 6 years. And then you have, again, the Tim Jankerson umbrella of sponsor companies, which is St. Louis Lawn Care, St. Louis Equipment, which is stlmowerrepair.com on the web for your mowing needs, if you want to buy a mower or fix your mower, and then lawncube.com, which is DIY subscription lawn service. This time of year, Martin, you know this, you got to have your lawn looking good. This is the time where your grass can look so green in April for the Easter egg hunt coming up on Sunday. And Tim Jankerson, St. Louis Lawn Care, they will hook you up.
I'm going to call him because I need the treatments. Like, I like working in the yard, but I need the lawn treatment to keep it from the, you know, the nuts edge, the crabgrass, all that crap. I will be in touch with Senior Jankerson. Also presented by Marie DeVilla Senior Living. And guess what? The fountains are red for opening day. That's why I love my guy, Fred. Fred Wiesehan is not only the guy who runs Marie DeVilla, but he's a huge sports fan. And he's always sort of festive. Even in the height of the pandemic, they were doing fun things out there. They would have bands on the back of a pickup truck just so the residents could hear some music, even though everybody was stuck indoors. Marie DeVilla, Senior Living, swing by Clayton and Wideman Road. See those red fountains going for opening day. He's ready for Cardinal baseball just like everybody else. MarieDeVilla.com is where you can take a virtual tour. Also, appliance discounters, they are well aware of all the cannots that the other appliance guys are telling you when you're in need of appliances right away. Charlie knows. And Appliance Discounters, they want to make your life easier, offering a full in-stock 40,000 square foot warehouse. It's full of GE appliances. Times are difficult enough. Don't wait 2 to 3 months for your appliance. You can get it in just a couple of days. Lowest price, GE rebates, great service, and in-stock only at Appliance Discounters. You can shop at any of their showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com. As always, our savings are your savings. And Triad Bank, our buddy Jim Regna, the CEO, they're a huge Cardinal fan. I'm sure he is stoked for today. Triad Bank, located in Frontenac on Clayton Road or on the web, it's triadbanking.com, the neighborhood-friendly bank that's based in St. Louis, started here in 2005. Charlie, I think the Nolan Arenado deal gave the Cardinals this national buzz and a bump. But I feel like since then, there's been a little more critical analysis of the lineup or whatnot. And I just don't think, like, everybody said, oh, my God, it's their division to win. It's their division to win. I think that's cooled off a little bit. And it's just one ranking, but the power rankings at ESPN.com, they have the Cardinals 14th overall, 7th best in the National League. They've got the Brewers ahead of the Cardinals at 13th, so pretty much neck and neck. But do you sense that, too, that maybe, like, immediately the Arenado deal had the Cardinals as, oh, my gosh, they made the big move, which they did. But I just am thinking now that they're not quite as heavy a favorites as they were.
Okay. I think that's fair from a national narrative standpoint. And I'll be the first one to tell you that, although I love baseball, the last month I've been so deep into college basketball that I really kind of didn't pay as much attention to baseball until yesterday when I arrived in Cincinnati. And I just wanted to, obviously, when the roster came out for the Cardinals, I look at that, but I'm kind of trying to look at the betting markets. And I'm not doing this just for gambling, but I do think it's interesting because you bring up power rankings, and the betting markets for futures are basically the same as power rankings. They're actually better because if money's on the line, I would trust Vegas over power rankings. And so I bring that up because I looked yesterday on Bovada. The Cardinals are 25-1 to win the World Series. And I believe when I looked yesterday, that was 9th best in all of baseball. So you said the power rankings were 14th. Bovada has the Cardinals, from a betting standpoint, as 9th. And then I looked at the National League Central, and of course I can't find it right now, but I did see this last night. I was surprised at how much of a favorite the Cardinals are in the Central. They're +110 to win the Central. The Brewers were the second projected team, according to Bovada, at +300. They actually had the Reds in third and the Cubs fourth. The Pirates were ridiculously down there at like 10,000. The Pirates are terrible. But I was surprised the Cubs were fourth. And to be honest with you, +110, that is a heavy favorite to win the division. So whatever the power rankings say, the betting markets have the St. Louis Cardinals as the heavy favorites to win the Central.
And I will say the phrase, Vegas always knows. You'll see a line, you know, on a football game. That's ridiculous. And it comes down to the final seconds and it's, oh, they're going to kick the field. Oh, it's right there at the spread. So to your point, I think typically they sort of know what's going on, which is a good sign for Cardinal fans. All right, let's fill out this set. You know, Troy, I like little games within the show here. Cardinals win the division if, and it would therefore it would also mean that they don't if this doesn't happen. I'll go first. I'll say the Cardinals win the division if Jack Flaherty is an all-star. In other words, if he's not like really good or very good this year, then I think things sort of fall apart in terms of winning the division, just that alone. I think Flaherty has to be an all-star caliber pitcher because there's other holes in that rotation, especially early in the season. So that's my win the division if Flaherty's an all-star. If he's not, I'm not sure they win the division.
Okay, that's fair. I want to say, and this is kind of random to say, I'm going to try to explain this in the best way possible, but I think the Cardinals win the division if about 2 months into the season, they have to add another starting pitcher not currently in the starting rotation. And I say that because I do think the Cardinals have tremendous overall pitching depth, and that's starters and also these reliever types like an Alex Reyes. And I know Gant and Ponce de Leon are starting the year in the rotation due to injury, but those guys if KK and Michaelis come back, are going to be tremendously valuable to the Cardinals. So the depth has been tested already right out of the gate. Now, KK may only miss three starts. Okay, that's fine. Michaelis is going to miss more. I still think the Cardinals are okay if KK comes back here in the next 3 weeks. But if 2 months into the season, Miles Michaelis is not back, and then there's another injury in the rotation, that's where I think you look at the Cardinals, you say, okay, the depth is gone. And right now, I think they're okay. Losing 40% of your starting rotation before you even throw a pitch in the regular season is not good, obviously. But still, having Gant and Ponce de Leon, they help you get through that for a month or two. I don't know if they can sustain a big injury, a 60-day injury in the starting rotation past what they have right now.
You know what I didn't realize? That Miles Michaelis was the opening day starter in 2019, just 2 years ago in Milwaukee, because he was coming off that huge 2018. We were looking this up, and I think that Jack Flaherty, he was in Milwaukee, he was on the team, but then he got sent down right away. I remember last year him saying, like, he hadn't experienced, like, a Cards opening day. Unless I'm getting this wrong, this will be his first, like, Busch Stadium true opening day experience. Last year, no fans. And in 18, or 19 rather, I think he got bounced from the roster right after they opened in Milwaukee. But Miles Michaelis, 2 years ago, was your opening day starter. All right, Cardinals are serious title contenders. We know all about the Padres and the Dodgers, the National League, even Braves and Mets. Get some really loaded teams. So the Cardinals are serious title contenders if, and I'm going to say if Dylan Carlson's a stud. So you have that third prong. You've got Goldschmidt and Arenado. You know, Arenado had a quiet spring. I think he'll be pretty good. I think that's safe. But if Dylan Carlson, because that outfield is still really suspect, if he's a stud, then maybe that elevates you, because we've already talked about the pitching. I think that may give you a shot at being a title contender. You never know in October. You could beat any team in a short series. You could beat any team. But I think to make that next step, to be not just a good team, but to be great, I think it's about him.
I like that. That's a good take. And by the way, as I'm looking at Bovada now to give you the exact numbers, Cardinals are tied for ninth best odds at 25-1 with the Oakland A's to win the World Series. In the National League, to win the pennant, they are fifth. So it's Dodgers, Padres, Mets, Braves, and then Cardinals, and then a significant drop to the sixth place team, which is the Reds. So Cardinals being about the fifth best team in the National League, I think that makes sense. I don't think they're elite, which now brings me back to your question. I think they're very good. Now, to get elite, to become elite, and maybe push a Dodgers and a Padres, I agree with you on Carlson. And I think whether you pick Carlson or maybe Tommy Edman or Paul DeJong, to me it comes down to somebody or multiple people in the lineup lengthening that lineup. Because, again, I talked about the rotation. Okay, there's some injuries right now. I think their bullpen is going to be stacked. To me, the offense is the wild card. You love Arenado, obviously. You love Goldie. You know what you're going to get from somebody like Yadier Molina at the age of 39 years old. To me, it's about Carlson, who you mentioned. And I think Carlson could be a stud. This year, obviously, he's going to be a stud moving forward. Would it surprise me if Dylan Carlson was hitting second on this team in the next month? It would not. I think he has that type of talent. So it's going to come down, in my opinion, to can you lengthen this lineup with guys like Dylan Carlson being really good, with Tommy Edman being 2019 Tommy Edman. Remember, Tommy Edman was like a 300 hitter, 400 on base, 500 slug guy his rookie year. I know it was only about 90 or so games. He was really good. If he gets anywhere close to 2019 Tommy Edman, that's fantastic for the Cardinals at the top of the lineup. And then also Paul DeJong, to me, is the other X factor. Paul DeJong, can he just be that solid number five hitter? He's never going to hit probably for a great average, but he has 30 homer pop. Can he be the guy who's your five-hole hitter who can hit 250 but hit 30 home runs? And he can do that. I think if you get 2019 Tommy Edman, if you get a really good Paul DeJong and Dylan Carlson, he doesn't have to be an MVP, rookie of the year, but if he's dang good, man, you're talking about a pretty good top six type situation in the lineup for the Cardinals.
And by the way, people wondering, Bally's Sports Midwest, that debuts with the Cards opener. don't call the station and ask us where to find the games. I mean, although that could be true depending on your cable provider, but people are confused. Well, where do I go to get Bally Sports Midwest? Wherever you got Fox Sports Midwest. I did. God bless this old guy the other day. We talked for about 10 minutes. He wanted the number for Fox Sports Midwest. I'm like, first, I got to find the number. Then there's probably nobody who's going to answer the phone. But it's not, I said, it hasn't moved on your dial. They just have a different name. It'll have a different look, maybe a different feel, but the station itself still exists. Now, if your cable provider is fighting with Bally's and it's not on there, that's different, but it's not moving up or down the dial. I think like people are overly confused about this. And then a lot of discussion about the gambling aspect, which I'm pretty concerned that they're going to scoop Charlie away from us and he'll be the gambling insider. You know, the cat will go with like little talk about the rotation and his conversation with said player. Then like, all right, let's get it over to Charlie Marlowe with the latest on the gambling implications of this game. He's like, yeah, I'll tell you what, yeah. Dan. I tell you what, Brad. I think right now Vegas says it's 200-1 that Edmund's going to lay down a bunt right here. Oh, there he just did it. Cash those tickets, everybody. It's as much as that might be fun at some point, I don't think it's going to be this. Like Dan Caesar's written a lot about it. I don't think it's going to be this overriding gambling theme. Bally's is the sponsor. Now, I think gambling, you know, odds and percentages will probably get weighed in more and more. But I think people have overthought this.
Well, I do believe gambling is not just the future, but the present of media and TV. You might see separate broadcasts where they really focus on the gambling aspect and it's not that main broadcast. I will say this, though, getting back to your point about people calling in. Now, this is probably not older folks, all due respect, because I'm guessing older folks don't have the YouTube TVs of the world and the Hulu TVs of the world. But if you're a huge baseball fan, you might not have noticed until, oh, it's Cardinals season. Let's watch the game. Oh, we don't even have Fox Sports Midwest anymore on Hulu or YouTube TV. And I know the name changed from Fox Sports Midwest to Bally's, so that shouldn't be a huge deal finding it on your dial if you have a typical cable provider. But big picture, I think baseball overall has a huge problem there because young people are watching on the streaming services. And if you can't watch your Cardinals, I mean, a lot of people are ticked off at that. And our guy, Dave Matter, he was tweeting. And I thought it was very interesting. Dave Matter obviously lives in Columbia. He's 2 hours from KC. He's 2 hours from St. Louis. He wants to watch Cardinals baseball or Royals baseball with MLB TV. They black it out. And that's with these stadiums only being at 30% or so capacity. I mean, you're ticking off baseball fans that want to watch on TV. And baseball is not so popular that it can afford to do that. It's not the NFL. Like, they better get things straight with the whole TV watching situation.
How about the fact that there's confusion, not just among fans, but even media members? I had to think for a second. Now, wait a minute. There's no DH, right? Okay, no, they're not doing – are they still thinking about – no. Okay, no, there's not a DH. Wait a minute. What about the playoffs? Is it expanded playoffs or no? It's back to two wild cards? Okay, that's sort of a problem too that we're all – granted, some of it was pandemic-related last year, some of the tweaks. But don't you think there's a lot of confusion about what exactly – the plans are from season to season right now?
100%, Colton Pareko. And that's where all these reports, you hear these reports and then we report it like it's a done deal, but the vote hasn't taken place. For example, with the whole NFL, with the 17 game schedule, I feel like we decided that months ago. And then a couple days ago, yesterday, whenever it was official. Well, the NFL owners finally voted on it. Yeah. With baseball, I feel like the DH situation was taken care of months ago, but then I see, okay, they're just now voting on it. I get it that with COVID, you have to be flexible and fluid if things happen. Like, especially, I don't think this is going to be the case, but if there was another weird stoppage or teams have an outbreak and all of a sudden teams haven't played 162 games and you have to get creative. I just think the baseball situation, it's so much about this is the last year before the CBA. It totally makes sense to have a DH, especially when you had it last year and everybody knows the next CBA is going to have a DH. But these owners and players right now, because it's more about the next CBA, they are so dug in trying to get everything for their side that nobody will compromise at all.
All right, Charlie, you tweeted a picture of the great Chris Sabo. No, it actually wasn't, but you joked that it might have been. How about this little game here? I'm gonna quiz you. These are players who either played for the Reds or the Cardinals, and a handful who actually played for both the Reds and the Cardinals. Career home runs. Okay, people like this stuff. People like this stuff. Yeah. David Bell, current manager of the Reds, played for the Cardinals. Career home runs for David Bell.
Man, I'm going to say
– I think this is, say, this is tough. I'm going to tell you it's more than you think.
Okay, see, I'm thinking, did this guy ever hit, you know, 21 homers in a season? I was going to say 80, but then you said more, so now I'm going to say 146.
A little less. 123. He had a couple of years in Seattle where he hit like 20 and 18. The great Dave Jobe, our producer at Fox 2, we were talking about it last night, and I looked it up, and I made him guess, and he said, I don't know, 35, 40. I was like, 123. All right, Chris Sabo, since you were referencing him, former Cardinal, former Red, Spuds, I believe we called him.
Chris Sabo, University of Michigan, recruited by John Young, former Bradley University baseball assistant coach. I'll get there. Hey, by the way, also helped recruit Mike Matheny and Barry Larkin. How about those names?
Ooh.
Jim Abbott at Michigan in the 80s. Anyway,
so Mike Matheny going from Columbus, Ohio, living in that area and going to Michigan.
And Barry Larkin. Barry Larkin from Cincinnati, I believe.
Okay, yeah. Especially on the football side, Dan Dierdorf grew up in Canton and then went to Michigan. Ohio State. All right, Chris Sabo, total home runs.
Sorry, but I have to I don't like putting out bad information. Barry Larkin, because I think he was also recruited to play football for Bo Schembechler. I don't believe he ended up playing, but yes, Cincinnati Moeller, which is the great high school here that Ken Griffey Jr. also went to. Barry Larkin is from Cincinnati. Okay, Chris Sabo. I'm not going to look this up because now I am on Baseball Reference, but I'm going to say it's also more than you think. I'm going to say Chris Sabo, I'm going to say 149.
All right, a little less, 116. Chris Sabo. All right, Dave Parker, future guest on the Kilcoin Conversation. You can find that on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, Scoops with DannyMac.com. Dave Parker, going to be a guest, grew up in Cincinnati, later played for the Reds, but a Pirates star. Overall numbers are sort of borderline MVP. He was an MVP. Co-MVP. No, Willie Stargell was the co-MVP with Keith Hernandez, but was an MVP, 7-time All-Star, career home runs for the Cobra.
Okay, I've been over on a lot of these. My first guess was going to be around 350. I'm going to say 332.
Woo! 339.
Ooh!
339. Had 2,700 hits, nearly 1,500 RBIs. Some pretty strong numbers there. The Cobra. Former batting coach for Tony La Russa, who will also be coming up on the Kilcoin Conversation. George Foster, former Red, Met, kind of in that similar area, slugging. Although I think of him as more of a home run guy than Dave Parker. Yet similar numbers.
Mets. Well, George Foster, wasn't he the trivia answer to there was like nobody that hit 50 homers forever until, you know, George Foster did it and then all the steroids guys? I believe that's the case. So if he had a 50 in one season, I'm going to go with 287.
Ooh, 348.
Wow.
348. When he signed with the Mets, the famous line, because LaGuardia is right there, he told the planes they would have to fly like in a different route to get to the airport because he's going to hit so many bombs. Yeah, he was okay, but very good for the Reds. 348 career. All right, let's do this. Couple of Cardinal players that ended up with the Reds. Jim Edmonds.
You forget that all of the Cardinals in the Walt era all ended up with the Reds for at least 1 year.
Correct.
I think exactly because I checked Jim Edmonds' page so often. I believe I'm going to even say I know this exactly that it's 393.
That is correct. I was going to say that's one of those, you know, it's right around 400, but not quite. I wondered if at this point we know exactly. Scott Rolen, 4 years with the Reds. Man, I didn't realize it was that long.
Okay. Scott Rolen, I feel like, was always around that solid 25. I know he hit some, type homer seasons. I'm going to guess that he's right around 300. I'm going to say 314.
Woo-hoo. And you got the under, 316.
Ooh.
But now that you've heard that, you'll probably remember it. All right, let's finish with a current Cardinal. We followed his career afar. Now he is playing third base, Nolan Arenado.
Okay, Nolan Arenado. I also have looked at his baseball reference page so often the last 2 or 3 months. I want to say it's either around 250 or 300, but he's played, I know he's played exactly 8 seasons because he has 8 gold glove awards. Could he average 40 home runs at Coors to get to about 320? I'm going to say it's like right around 300. Let's say 295.
Maybe a little less. Let's see, average more like 30 a year. Better average. Okay.
250-ish.
All right, 235. Getting to know your former Reds, your former Cardinals. Oh, we didn't say win total. What about Cards win total? Got to put this in the vault, file it away. It's really boring. And you know, I'll be bullish. Because everybody's saying that whoever wins the division is going to be in the 80s. And I think they assume that they'll sort of beat up on each other, all being somewhat similar. Cards, Brewers, Cubs, Reds. I'm going to say 90 is needed to win the division. And I'm going to say the Cards get to 90 just because I'm a soft media member in St. Louis.
Well, I'm going to hold you accountable and say, I'm going to say 91. Don't you feel like the Cardinals of the past, when they haven't been great, but they're still really good? And we're talking about a 162-game season, obviously. Last year, whatever the heck they were with the – I don't even know how many games they played, 58.
I think they were 30 and 28 maybe.
Yeah, something like that. So I feel like those Cardinals teams that always make the playoffs when they're not great, they're always around 88 or so. I think the Cardinals are actually better. I think the Arenado acquisition should add a couple wins to the total. So I'm going to say 91.
91. I'm going to hold you accountable. Martin and Marlowe, again, brought to you by Marie Davila, Senior Living, Triad Bank, and Appliance Discounters, and of course, Corner Butcher, Kenilwood Pet Resorts. Otis getting cleaned up this weekend, named after Otis Nixon, baseball player, of course. And the Tim Jankerson, the triumvirate of companies. I'm going to be calling him about my lawn care, my fertilization, as it were. Last thought, and I thought of you the other night. Sounds weird, but I'm with some guys watching basketball, and one of them's an Illinois grad. And Michigan's on. And I said, can you root for Michigan? Because it's the Big Ten, and the Big Ten's, you know, like a laughing stock with the tournament this year. He said, absolutely not. So what about you, Ohio State guy? Can you put that aside and root for Michigan?
I 100% can, especially in basketball. My fervor for Ohio State basketball is not great. I do like Juwan Howard. I will say this, though. I'm probably the only person – when it comes to Michigan football, I always want Michigan to win. I want that game, Ohio State, Michigan, to get back to the glory years when they were both 10-1, 11-0 almost every year or a lot of years. That's when that rivalry is really fun. To me, it's almost pathetic how bad Michigan football is. Really, if you grew up, you know, I'm 38 years old. My formative years of watching that game was John Cooper, where Ohio State was 11-0 every year and they lost to 8-3 Michigan every year with Lloyd Carr, and it was unbelievable. If you look at the numbers now that Ohio State has won that game, something crazy, like it's like 19 out of 20 or 18, whatever it is, going back to Jim Tressel, it's absurd how bad Michigan football is. I actually feel sorry for them to a certain point. And also, I'm tired of people ripping on the Big Ten. The Big Ten really needed a national championship in basketball. They're obviously not going to get it this year. So I always root for all Big Ten teams, even if it's Michigan, to go until they play in Ohio State in football.
Hey, go get yourself some of that Skyline chili. Isn't that people go to Cincinnati, you got to get Skyline chili? It tastes like cinnamon, but I don't mind it. I'm not going to complain about chili. I don't get into the chili wars. It does taste a little like cinnamon.
Can I just say real quick, Tales from the Road? Yeah. So last night we were going to tape this, just so everybody knows. I was going to tape it at night, and then I got here. I was like, okay, let's do it in the morning. And so there was no places open at like 11 o'clock. There was a Waffle House. I'm like, I don't really want to sit down. There was every fast food option. I don't really like fast food, but I'm like, all right, I'm on the road, whatever. I go to Burger King. My idea was I'm going to get that Burger King chicken sandwich, which I really like. I never get it. I go to order it, and the guy at the drive-thru goes, we're out of that. I was like, okay. He goes, this is like 11 at night. He's like, we're out of all fried products. I'm like, really? I'm like, so no fries? I'm like, how do you even operate a fast food? place with no fried products. So then, and this is horrible, it's like 11 at night, and I had a couple beers as well. I went to the gas station, got a couple tall boys. I went to Taco Bell, and I never eat Taco Bell. I only even eat stuff like this on the road. The craftsmanship of my tacos was so poor. And I know, look, these people work, and I know they don't like working the drive through, and it's not great money. I get it.
Well, they're also they're also very stoned. Keep that.
They're stoned. It's 11, and we're idiots, and people are probably drunk in the drive through. I wasn't. I opened up a Taco Martin that had like nothing in it. I swear to you, there was like one tiny piece of meat, maybe one piece of cheese, and like three shreds of lettuce. Like, I opened it up. I mean, there was zero effort put into making this taco. And I just started laughing. Like, I mean, what am I going to do? Complain? It was just like, it was pretty funny, though.
I think, and honestly, that's why like the Chick-fil-A's of the world just get so popular, because they nail it. Not only in terms of what they give you, there is no, it's consistent. It's good, but it's also consistent. I'm not a big fast food guy, in part because of that. I just, if you say no ketchup, please, there'll always be extra ketchup. If you say extra mayo, then there'll be no mayo. I can't stand it. We got to hold them accountable, Chuck.
We do.
Love a good road trip, though. So Charlie from Cincinnati checking in with us. Oh, I'm going to be talking to the skipper, Tony La Russa. How about that? How about him back in the dugout? I'm fascinated. I don't know what kind of mood he's going to be in, because it is a game day. They're out in Los Angeles playing the Angels later tonight. But I'm among our baseball stories to watch this year. I am just fascinated how that's going to go on the south side of Chicago.
Okay. I have to ask, though. I mean, are you going to bring up the whole DWI thing, or are you going to keep it kind of, hey, opening day baseball talk?
I think it'll just be opening day baseball, because I know him well enough to know that he'll feel like it's been addressed and it's not worth bringing up again. But that's my take on it. But I could ask him if he wants to discuss it, but I already know. So he knows baseball. It's all baseball.
Yeah.
I got it. All right, buddy. Enjoy it in Cincinnati.
Thanks, sir.